Reflect on this question. Who is the person aside from your family member that you can trust? Who is the person you can trust aside from your family members? Just like you let that person borrow your car. You trust that your car will be returned in good, perfect condition. Yet, imagine if he returned your car and your car is damaged, you don't sense any regret letting it borrowed. What do you call such attitude? Sharing your things is kindness, but not everything should be shared, right? So what is something you set apart exclusively for personal use only that you don't want others to borrow from you? Someone say, I don't want to let others borrow my underarm deodorant. Another say, well, I don't want others to borrow my shoes. Well, that's given. You don't want to your things to be contaminated. And you don't want to be contaminated by body odor, or you don't want others to be contaminated by your body odor. Aside from clothing, what is it that you exclusively use for yourself only? Of course, there's the password of your social media account or your email. You don't want others to use that. You don't want to share with others. Someone does not want to share his guitars to others. Does not want to feel sorry if anything happens. Of course, fragile, breakable, delicate things are supposed to be taken care of, right? But which one do you prefer? Do you prefer to lend or to borrow? To lend or to borrow? Think about that. Which is better for you? It declares in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12 to 14. Let's read this together. The Lord will open the heavens in the storehouse of his bounty to send rain in your land in season and to bless all the works of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Many people are rallying against the term anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish people. Why do people do not like the Jewish people? I don't know, but maybe because Jewish people, most of them are very wealthy or successful in material things. And things, this is what the Lord has promised already. Remember this, Deuteronomy chapter 28, 12 to 14. Of course, this is not easy to believe. It is by faith we believe that the word of God is real, is true. Can you strongly believe that the Lord will bless you abundantly when you honestly obey this commandment? First of all, ask yourself, do I seriously trust that godly commands are prescription of God to abundantly bless the obedient? That is something that you need to ask yourself. Do I really believe this, that God would bless me if I obey him? Now, if you sense in your heart that there's hesitation to believe it, then don't force. Don't do it. Don't try to prove yourself if you hesitate, if you sense that hesitation, instead ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. Help me believe until you sense very peacefully with joy that you truly trust it. That is the confirmation that you trust. No matter what the command of God would be, you believe. A while back, Brother Jay shared with us a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, when it says, remember the Lord your God, it is He who gave you wisdom to produce much wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Do you believe that? Meaning, if the Lord produces wealth, give you wisdom to produce wealth, remember and thank Him. What did He say? His word says, give God's tithes, bring the tithes of God in the storehouse and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and you will not have much room enough for that blessing. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Many people do not like to hear that. Why? Because it is only by faith in the Lord that we believe that it is really true. When the Holy Spirit of truth reigns in our heart, He inspires us that godly commands are true. They are prescription for blessing. Godly commands are prescription for blessing. He inspires us. The Holy Spirit of Christ inspires us to obey them. The Spirit of truth helps us understand that it is true, that the Word of God is true. But when we sense, when we resist, when we ignore anything that comes from the Lord, the sinful instinct dictates our hearts, our human nature. Our human nature is sinful. That's what is reigning, controlling our hearts and our minds when there's resistance. So ask the Lord, Lord, take away this pressure from me to resist you. Instead, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Increase my faith. Increase my faith, Lord. By faith in Christ, we believe we are freed from sin. We are not slave of sinful nature anymore. Can you agree with that? Don't just say yes. Instead, search your heart. Do I agree or not agree? Until you do not sense that peace of agreeing that we are already freed from sinful nature, ask the Lord, Lord, help me realize that you have already freed me from sinful nature. Let's read again verse 21 of our passage. Were you a slave when you were called? Do not let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. It seems like being a slave and a believer is it's not very big deal in this passage. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. It's like, Apostle Paul, what are you talking about? Are you saying it's no big deal? Kind of like, there's that resistance in the heart. The term slave pertains to a person who is controlled by a master. His labor, his services to his master are not paid. They're free. And he is very dependent on his master and everything he needs. The food he eats, the shelter he needs, the clothing, everything. He depends upon depends on his master. His master also dictates wholly, directly, all his activities. This is what you can do. This is what you cannot do. You can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can eat that, you can wear this, you can wear that. This is what you can do. The master dictates what everything that the slave would do. That is slave, in short and simple language, the slave is property of his master. He can sell him or not, that's up to the master. Slaves are the most deprived people in the society. And in contrast, masters are the most privileged people in the society. But when it says, were you a slave when you were called, do not let it trouble you. It means social status is not a requirement to be saved in the eyes of God. Through faith in Christ, slave or master, anyone has opportunity to be saved from eternal torture. God is not prejudiced about social status. It is by his grace that we are saved through faith in Christ. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, let's read meditatively. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The master or the slave, they cannot boast that they have done good things so that they will be saved. No. No one can say that. If they say that, then they are not saved, because it is only by grace, through faith in Christ, that we are saved. Slaves, as well as masters, everyone can practice faith in Christ. In the eyes of God, there's no prejudice. Apostle Paul made it very clear that being a slave should not be a hindrance to practicing Christianity. He also encouraged slaves, however, to gain freedom. Gain your freedom if you have opportunity. Slaves are limited because their master, they control their activities. Even when they get married, it's the master who would give the go signal. Can marry or not marry, the slave will decide. There was this TV show about a nobleman. He has a slave. The slave followed and served his master wherever the master goes. Honestly, he served him. And the slave and the master, they are like friends. They are like friends. And one day, the slave was in love with a woman who is not a slave. And the woman who is not a slave was in love also with the slave man. And the nobleman sensed that agony of his slave, because they cannot have official marriage. Why? The law of the land does not allow slaves to marry anyone who is not a slave. When a slave marries, they can only marry a slave. That is the law of the land. And even the free person cannot marry a slave and cannot be registered. They can marry, but they will hide their relationship. But the society would not recognize their marriage. So that agony, because of that friendship of the master and the slave, the master, the nobleman, sensed that agony of his slave. So what he did, he gave us wedding gift, a slave certificate of release. He certified that paper, he certified that he released his slave to become freed man. Of course, both the slave and his fiancée were so happy and their marriage was legally recognized by the government eventually. Someone may argue, I'm not a slave. So what is the point of studying about freedom from slavery? Well, did you know that a group of singers had predicted that anyone can be slave, imprisoned by his own device? Have you ever sung the song that declares, we are all just prisoners here of our own device? You know that song? I love to sing that song before, and I didn't understand the meaning. I just like the music of it. Did you hear that song? What song is that? Hotel California. We are all just prisoners here of our own device. And that's the part, the last part of the song. Almost the last part. And true. Interestingly, someone said, my life is not complete if my device is not with me. So he freaked out if his cell phone is lost. And another one said, the first thing that he does in the morning when he wakes up is to check his device, his gadget. They can't help but check their device while driving. And others, even in the church, right? If something controls you, you are slave of that thing. Did you know that? Let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slave of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you are used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Can you accept that everyone is a slave? One can be a slave of his device, gadget. Another one is slave of sin. We are slaves of Christ who freed us from sin. Christ's death on the cross, his crucifixion, was a payment of our freedom from sin. Logically, we are slaves of Christ because Christ holds our freedom. We don't own our freedom. Freedom belongs to the Lord, our freedom as believers of Christ. When a slave accepts Christ as Lord and Savior, they become a freed person. Similarly, anyone who is not a slave, a freedman who is not a slave when he believes in Christ, become slaves of righteousness. Let's read again verse 22 of our passage. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. Personally, how do you interpret the term Lord's freed person? What does that mean? The Lord's freed person. Does freedom mean that we can do anything that we want, we desire, we think? Do you interpret it like that? If we follow our desire, we are dependent on our nature. We are dependent on our instinct. We are dependent on our sinful instinct, sinful nature, because we follow our desire, our instinct. And we hear many times, follow your passion, follow your heart. But the Bible says that heart is deceptive. Who can understand it? And that is, if you believe that the word of God is true. But those who do not believe it, they would ignore it. They would follow their passion, of course. How can the Lord's freed person be totally free then? A freed person of the Lord becomes slave of godly righteousness. Meaning, when we are freed person of Christ, we are slave to obedience to Christ. We obey godly righteousness. Sinful nature cannot influence our desire anymore, because sinful nature is not our master anymore. Our master is Christ, so that we obey godly righteousness. This is where spiritual maturity is necessary. Children don't mature overnight. And you see children who would readily disobey. Why? Because they don't understand obedience is for their betterment. Even young people will say, we are already grown up, and they disobey. And they don't understand that obedience to parents is blessing for the Lord. It is when you become parents yourselves, you would easily understand that obedience to parents is really blessing. Similarly, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us to mature spiritually. Keep praying. Ask the Lord, Lord, I would like to follow my passion. But be sure that your passion is inspired by the Holy Spirit and not inspired by your envy. Envy of being similar to your friend, to others. Instead, you are inspired because you inspired by the Holy Spirit and want to follow the path that God prepared you to be successful. So in anything we do, we are either controlled by Christ or controlled by sin. If we do anything contrary to the godly commands, sin is controlling us, controlling our initiative. This is the importance of knowing the Word of God, to know if we are following our sinful instinct or following the Lord. But when empowered by the Holy Spirit of Christ, He Himself inspires us to do things acceptable and pleasant to Him. He inspires us to know more what is pleasant to Him. We, believers, are persons freed from sin. We are slave of Christ. We are slave of righteousness. How strong do you believe that? Ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith to strongly believe that I am freed person, slave of Christ. How strong do you believe that God knows if we are willing to obey Him or not? Obeying the Lord is not about just doing what He says. If you are begrudging, there's this resistance, and you delay, I obeyed. Many times we hear children would say, I obeyed. Why? Did I not obey what you say? And they think they are obeying. And many people would think like that. Begrudgingly they obey the Lord. And they think they are obeying the Lord. That is not obedience. That is not. Why? It is because sinful nature resists. Sin is still in control. You are doing it on your own initiative. Not inspired by the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit produces enthusiasm, gladness in us, we gladly obey Christ as our master. Remember the term enthusiasm. What is enthusiasm? Originally, it comes from Greek term en plus theos, en theos, which means God With God, it means with God, or controlled by God. Go to the dictionary and find the origin of enthusiasm, and you find that it's controlled by God, possessed by God. That's enthusiasm. When we are possessed by God, we have that obedience, we have that enthusiasm, we have that gladness, we have that peace, that kindness, that love from the Holy Spirit. Slave of Christ is freed person of the Lord. Slave of Christ sends that joyful enthusiasm. A freed person of the Lord and a slave of Christ cheerfully obey him. You are freed person of Christ, of the Lord. You are slave of Christ if you obey him cheerfully, gladly, with enthusiasm. Let's reflect on what Apostle Paul appealed to Philemon for Onesimus. In Philemon 11 to 16, there's only one chapter, so verse 11 to 16. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place helping me while I am in chain for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. That pronoun he pertains to Onesimus. Onesimus was a former slave of Philemon. But can you go back to verse 11? Verse 11. It says, formerly, Onesimus was useless to you. Formerly, Onesimus was useless to you. How could a slave be useless to a master? What did Apostle Paul mean when he said that? Formerly, Onesimus was useless to Philemon. Onesimus was former slave of Philemon, but what did Onesimus do? He ran away. He escaped. Why did he escape? There was no enthusiasm as a slave of Philemon. He did not like the idea of a slave. He did not want to be a slave of Philemon. He had no enthusiasm at all serving Philemon as master. He wanted to be free. He wanted his freedom from his slavery. And run away slave is useless to the master. Formerly, Onesimus was useless to his master. In contrast, a useful slave is the one who gladly obey without any grudge. Obey master, and they are loyal to their master. Remember the servant, the slave of Abraham, that he sent, the senior slave of Abraham? He sent, go to the east, look for a wife for my son Isaac. The servant went and brought Rebekah back. He did not run away. Why? He would rather serve Abraham. Why? Because somewhere else he is not sure. He was not sure if he would be really living a rich kind of life with the things he would run away from his master. Maybe other people would take him as a slave, a much cruel master. He returned to Abraham. He would rather be a slave of Abraham, because with Abraham, He can have all he want. He can eat what he want. He can do what he want to do serving his master Abraham. That is a very useful slave. Similarly, we, when we sense enthusiasm obeying the Lord, Lord means master, our Lord Jesus, our master Jesus. When we find joyful peace serving him, we become useful slaves to him. We become useful servant to him. Many people would try to make it more acceptable when they use servant of the Lord. But the biblical meaning of servant of the Lord is slave of the Lord. We become servant of righteousness, we become slave of righteousness. Meaning, when we hear the word slave, we know that we do not have freedom to do anything on our own. When we do things on our own, that is, we are obeying actually sin. When sin controls our desire, there is this begrudging resistance to the Lord. We don't like to obey the Lord. We don't like even to read the Bible. That is begrudging. We become useless slave of the Lord. Do you want to become useful servant of the Lord? You become useful slave of the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Pray, pray, pray until you sense that joy, that peace, enthusiasm of serving him, not begrudging. So that you would not say, ako na naman, ako na lang lagi, ako na lang ng ako. What was that in English? Me again? What is lagi? Me again and again? Why me again? Something like that. That is kind of like complaining. Who is complaining? Actually, the sin living in us. That's the one complaining in us. We want to obey that sin. That's why we complain when we are given tasks. And the Holy Spirit of God fills us, give us joy, there is enthusiasm, there is cheerfulness to obey the Lord. Reflect on what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in words or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, whether words or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. Students, this is for you. Do you give thanks to the Lord when you have difficulty in your studies? Oh Lord, it's so difficult. Thank you, Lord. Do you say that? Thank you, Lord, it's difficult. It challenged my mind. Now, I know this is not easy. And it helps, right? It helps to give thanks because you realize it's easy. It's not easy. Then you know that you are challenged, meaning the muscle of your brain is growing strong. How about employees? Do you give thanks to the Lord when your boss assigned you a difficult task? Boss, what? Why do you give me this so much work? This is hard. I just call in sick if you are not, even if you are not sick, you call in sick because you don't like to see your boss. Do you do that? Many people do that. You call in sick and then you get sick eventually. That's hard. That's tough. You always call in sick, the Lord allow you to get sick, and you don't like it. During difficult concerns in love, in life, personal, family concern, church concerns, community concerns, concerns in the government, do you give thanks to the Lord? Lord, thank you for the problem in my family. Now help me see how you work. And others would see how I would react. And I testify that it's you who transform me. We give thanks when we sense joyful peace, right? We give thanks when we sense that enthusiasm. When someone gives you something, you're so, wow, thank you. But when someone gives you a very little gift, thank you. There's no enthusiasm even, right? Just saying thank you, but you are not thankful actually. You are deceiving yourself. You're saying thank you, but you are not thankful in your heart. Would that be sinful? What do you think? Without joy, giving thanks is not easy. Where does joy come from? The Holy Spirit. So when you do not sense that thankfulness, that gratitude in the heart, don't just try to give thanks. Instead, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Your word says, whatever I do, whatever I say, I will do in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God through him. Lord, thank you through Jesus Christ. Thank you. It's you who enable me to thank you. I'm not saying that you need to shout aloud, yay, thank you, thank you. That's not something that I'm thinking. Even if you are crying, but in your heart there's deep joy, you sense that difficulty in your relationship, difficulty in the family, that's okay, that's normal. But still you thank God, Lord, thank you. This difficulty brings me to you and ask your help. You are drawing me closer to you. And you sense that deep joy in your heart, crying and giving thanks to God is something else. You would like that. You would like that. Instead of shouting like those fans in the basketball games, shouting aloud like crazy when their favorite team wins, that is not the kind of joy that you would like to experience. Let them do that. You can do it too, but that's not the kind of joy that you would like to experience. Giving thanks to God during difficult struggle, this is a transformational work of Christ, our Lord, in our life. That is what we want to testify and prove, that we are saved through faith in Christ, that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is living in us. Whatever we do, whatever you do, it could be complicated, it could be simple. We thank the Lord with gladness of heart when we are inspired by the Holy Spirit. To be slave of Christ, we obey him enthusiastically. Remember that. In contrast, to be slaves of sin, we begrudgingly resist godly commands. When we are resisting it, when we do not like even to read the Bible, that is the sin controlling us. That is the sin controlling us. We do not want that part. Reflect personally. Do you obey the Lord enthusiastically? Do you obey the Lord with gladness, with cheerfulness? Or do you sense resistance at all? Are you loyal slaves of Christ? The term slave of Christ can be degrading. It can be humiliating to others. They do not want that word, slave, because they know there's no freedom at all. Servant is a better word that they would use. But servant and slave, biblically, are the same thing. We do not have our freedom in obeying our sinful nature. We have freedom in obeying godly righteousness. Slave or freed person we gladly obey the Lord. We enthusiastically obey the Lord, whatever the situation we are in. Let's read again verse 24 and 23 and 24 of our passage. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Now, remember, whenever Apostle Paul used the terms brothers and sisters, these passages were written to Christians, were written to believers. They were not written for unbelievers. Do not use this passage for unbelievers that because they do not understand and they cannot accept it. Even Christian cannot accept it sometimes when sinful nature controls them. But how do you interpret this passage? You were bought at a price, not become slaves of human beings. Christianity does not promote slavery. Be sure of that. Christianity does not promote slavery. But Christianity do not dictate cultures of others. What other culture practice, the Christianity do not dictate. Only for believers. If there are believers who are slaves when God called them, we pray that they should find opportunity to gain their freedom from their human master. So instead of going, trying to force masters, free the slave, free the slave, they don't understand. Instead, pray that those slaves may testify of God's goodness. Eventually, they may find opportunity to gain freedom. Eventually, their master may have that willingness to give them certificate of freedom. So slaves who come to believe in Christ are actually encouraged to gain freedom if opportunity to gain freedom present itself. Then why are we advised to remain in the situation we are in when God called us? Brothers and sisters, each person is as responsible to God. Why is it? Why did it include us responsible to God? Because we become slaves of God. We are responsible to God, not responsible to any human being anymore. Responsible to God. We are encouraged that we should remain in situation when we are, when God called us. Situation we are in, what does that mean? To remain slaves as human beings all their lives, it's personal choice. But the Bible does not promote slavery, that's for sure. Gain freedom if you have freedom, it says. If your freedom present itself. Actually, Apostle Paul advised in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. Colossians chapter 3, 22 to 25. Let's read. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes is on you, and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward, it is the Lord you are serving. Well, if you cannot imagine that inheritance, well, let's read verse 25 first. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for wrong, and there is no favoritism. Now, if you cannot imagine inheritance from the Lord, it's hard working for the Lord. Do you sense working for the Lord? Employees, do you sense that you, when you work, you are working for the Lord or for your human employers? Or you're working for salary? Someone said, there was this pastor, I am paid in the church, monthly salary, 1,000, for example. So monthly salary, four times a month, I preach. Fifth week, it's my day off because I only paid monthly. And like, I don't know if there are pastors like that, but someone said, there are. It's sad. When pastors think like that, how much more the congregation? If it is possible that preachers think like that, how much more ordinary believers? How can ordinary believers think that they are working for the Lord, not for human masters? Just imagine for a while. You were born in a family of slaves. You have no freedom. You were forced to become slaves because you have no strength to fight your freedom. Or you're slaves because you have bills to pay. You have mortgage to pay. You're a slave. Then you are told, the Bible says, obey your masters with all your heart. Obey your employers with all your heart. The natural tendency is there's resistance to obey difficult tasks. Boss, this is hard. I don't like it. That's natural sinful nature. It is instinctive sinful nature. But when the Holy Spirit inspired us, we obey with all our heart enthusiastically. Your co-workers will observe you. Hey, I observe you're always smiling. It's so difficult. The boss is so harsh. Why are you still smiling? When they ask that, then say, you want to know? Come, sit down. I will tell you how, why. They really sit down, then say, the Holy Spirit of Christ in me empowers me, inspires me to be smiling, to be joyful, enthusiastic in what I do. That is the transformational work of Christ that the Lord wants us to witness, to testify about. We do not need to, Lord, I need to do this, I need to do that. No. When you are prepared, the Lord will put you in a divine appointment. So ask the Lord to always be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Lord would not like you to be embarrassed. He doesn't want you to be put you in a situation which is when you feel awkward. He wants you to testify. It's a command. But He doesn't command us to do it on our own. Being forced to do it. When we are resisting, that is not what He wants. Naturally, there's resistance obeying difficult tasks, but for the sake of discussion, someone asked, why does the Lord allow slavery? Then, why does the Lord allow that? Slavery helps us understand that we can be enslaved by anything. We can be enslaved by device. We can be enslaved by gadget. Slavery may cause us also to reflect, determine practically if we are honestly dependent on the Lord. Am I dependent on the Lord? Am I relying upon the Lord? Am I practicing my faith in the Lord? Well, the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, could enlighten us. Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and his brothers were so envious. They did not like Joseph. What they did, they wanted to eliminate Joseph. But eventually decided to sell him. They sold him to merchants. And those merchants brought him to Egypt and they sold him as a slave of Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. Together, let's meditate and reflect what it narrated about the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 to 5. The Lord was with Joseph, that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his servant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he is trusted to share everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Wow! Can you claim that for yourselves, that wherever you are employed, that company that you are employed will prosper because the Lord is with you? Can you take that into heart? Think about it. How could the master, Potiphar, saw the Lord was with Joseph? He saw the difference in the way Joseph served him. He served with enthusiasm, with gladness. Of course, a master would like to see slave servants smiling, right? Or not necessarily smiling, but not pouting. Because when you are smiling all day, that's something weird. You don't like that too. But at least you are not just begrudging. If you were employers, if you own a company, do you like to promote as your manager a begrudging, talented person? I don't like that. If I were one, I don't like to, because you promote somebody who would be with you most of the time, and you don't like to be with a person who is always complaining, who is always pouting, who is always angry. You don't like that. It's toxic, they say. Just imagine, Joseph was the favorite son of his father Jacob. Being favorite son, imagine that he, whatever he wishes to do in his father's home, he was free to do. Father, I would like to eat this. Okay, go ahead. Father, I would like to play this. Oh, go ahead. You're the favorite. Father, I would like to, go ahead, son. You have much freedom. And then, in Egypt, he was a slave. Joseph, come here. Joseph, do this. Joseph, that's very tough for him. The transition from being free to being a slave is very difficult transition. In a foreign country, where he understand a little of the Egyptian language, because normally Egyptians would go to Canaan and Canaans go to Egyptian, so the language may be easy, but to be in a foreign to live with foreign people, that's very tough. Like you are the only Filipino employed in other nationalities, or the only Indian in many other nationalities around you. That's difficult. Did you experience that, Nikhil? You find it difficult to adjust? No, because you have a lot of friends there. You don't have any friends there, that's hard to be employed in that place. That's the situation of Joseph. What is more difficult situation than being a slave in a foreign country? What is more difficult than that? The story of Joseph was very difficult and recorded in the Bible for us to learn from. Do you consider your situation to be more difficult than being a slave? Slave do not receive salary. You receive salary, even if it is minimum. It is minimal. You still have salary. You can still go home to your home. You eat what you want. You drink what you want. You wear what you want. Slaves do not. Do not eat. They cannot eat whatever they want. Whatever the master would present them, if they present them good food, great. If they present them something else, they need to accept that. This is what you wear. You can wear what you want. So your situation, our situation, is better than slave. Together, let's reflect on what it before that. Joseph trusted the Lord that whatever happened to him was an important episode of God's plan for him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Joseph believed the Lord that whatever, that even being in slavery was planned for him? Do you think Joseph had that in his heart? That he believed that it was God's plan for him to be in Egypt? He believed it and trusted the Lord. And here is the proof that he believed in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. See, his brothers were so guilty of what they did to Joseph. But Joseph, no. You intended to harm me, but it's God's plan for the best of everyone. So he did not sense that grudging feeling against his brothers when they sold him as a slave. Maybe he feel like, no, why do you sell me? He feel that agony at first, maybe, being separated from his brothers, from his father. But in the end, when the Lord, when he was praying, maybe, Lord, why did you allow this? And the Lord gave him wisdom to understand that it is for the good of everyone. Okay? Then he served the Lord with all his heart, in that his master saw that in him, so that his master put him in charge of everything. And you know what happened? Eventually, Joseph became prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful person in Egypt, except for the king. Together, let's reflect on what it admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power of his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Look at that. Know this love that surpasses knowledge. We cannot explain it. The love of Christ, we cannot, because it surpasses knowledge, human knowledge. Even if we combine billions of minds and brains of humans together, that brain can still be limited. Human is limited. And we cannot grasp the eternal, forever love of God. Just think about that. Discover how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. Maybe you have just discovered very little. It's not yet wide, it's not yet long, not yet high, not yet deep. Discover it. Pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that you may testify of his grace and love. And as the chairman of the board may present the annual report later, May all of us consider that life in Christ as slaves is far better than life of human slaves. We are bought at a price. We become freed person of the Lord. We become slaves of Christ. Let's seek enthusiasm from His Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's continue to serve Him with all our hearts. Whatever situation we have, whatever we do, whatever we say, and expect it inheritance as reward from the Lord. Christ is coming sooner. May He find us faithful and devoted servants. Let's stand up and let's pray.